Čekaj, kako je to u te izložbe? Pa manda ni... Ja to moram preveriti.
Dobar dan.
Dan, uprosti, a sam prvo vidio da imate nova številka?
Ja, ja, tamle, tako je levo.
Oh, kak lepa izdaja. Barvna naslovka, trda veza, a lahko prelistam?
Ja, seveda.
Oh, dišita, von tiskarnem je genialen. Pa kakšna dobra risba.
To je en čist mlad model, ampak veliko beta. Letos je nominiran za Eisnerja, pa scenarij tudi ni slab, veste.
Znaj, čakaj, a je to res pisal?
Ja, ja, Alan Moore.
Oh, koliko model vlada, kako gradi zgodbo, kako nastal polnota leitmotiv, ko se polovina konc, kako gradi napetost, kako nas pripelja do zapleta, do podzapleta, peripetije, odloga vrhunca, vrhunca, oh, strip, strip, strip.
Gospod, tole boste mogli pa kar kupati.
Stripofilija.
Oddaja za stripovske sladokusce.
Novosti.
Legende.
Napovedi.
Vsak mesec na Radio Študent.
Lepo pozdravljeni vsi ljubitelji stripofilije. Morda se spomnite pravkar slišane podlage, ki jo bomo danes vrteli čez celo stripofilijo, tudi iz našega prvotnega avizota. Vsekakor lepo pozdravljeni v stripofiliji na Radiu Študent. Sobota, tretja sobota v mesecu je tista sobota, v kateri razpravljamo o stripih, takšnih in drugačnih. In ja, seveda tudi nekaj o srečnem Luki bomo danes povedali, kaj točno in zakaj točno, katera obletnica ga letos namreč čaka. Boste izvedeli prav kmalu, že čez nekaj minut, do sedme imamo namreč časa. Pogledali bomo tudi v zakulisje lika, ki ga poznamo pod imenom Deadpool in katerega novi film prihaja ven prav februarja, že pred naslednjo stripofilijo. Mimo grede bomo razglasili tudi zmagovalce naj stripa stripofilije po izboru poslušalcev Radia Študent v letu 2015. Tako da ostanite z nami, poslušate torej stripofilijo na Radiu Študent. Najprej malo muzike, potem pa gremo pogledat, kdo je res Deadpool.
Skip alive, walking wonderland, as
Poslušate Stripofilijo na Radiu Študent in ja, čeprav se v zadju vrti srečni Luka, bomo zdaj spregovorili nekaj še o Deadpoolu, namreč v sklopu teh velikih premier, oziroma niti ne premier, ampak ja, torej napovedi novih filmov, nekaterih tudi nadaljevan. Strani Marvelovega vesolja smo slišali že veliko v preteklosti in se jih do leta 2025 nadejamo še kar nekaj. Eden izmed njih bo vsaj v tem bližnjem planu in sicer tudi bolj težko pričakovan film, ki je narejen po stripu Deadpool in pride ven 12. februarja. Zanima pa nas seveda, kdo sploh je Deadpool, glede na to, da večina nas sicer ve, da je hecen rdeče črn lik, ki pa je doživel velik uspeh prav zaradi svojega humorja, ki ga pri drugih superherojskih mutantih morda ni zaznati vsaj ne v tolikšni meri. Kdo je Deadpool, pa so nam na kratko predstavili kar na sami spletni strani Marvel Univerza.
He's a disfigured and mentally unstable mutant known as the Merc with the Mouth.
Okay. People are dead.
As with most comic book characters, there are often reimaginings and different versions to a character's past. We have chosen to primarily follow the storylines, which unfolded in 1998's Deadpool and Death Annual, 2010's Deadpool Wade Wilson's War, and finally 2010's X-Men Origins Deadpool. Born as Wade Wilson, he grew up with an abusive military father, and his mother died of cancer when he was still very young. Becoming a delinquent in his teenage years, his father was shot dead by Wade's friend when he attempted to end their drinking session at a nightclub. Sobering up from the experience, he joined the military for a short time before being kicked out of the service for bad behavior. Soon after, he was diagnosed with cancer and was offered a potential cure in exchange for his participation in a superhuman enhancement project. Entering into the government's top-secret Weapon X program, he underwent procedures that attempted to recreate the natural healing ability of the X-Men's Wolverine. Unfortunately, the procedure caused his cancer to go into overdrive, scarring him all over his body and leaving him with extreme neurological damage. Left in a near catatonic state, he was labeled a failed experiment and sent to a facility with the other rejects from the program. While there, the other prisoners took bets in a Deadpool on which inmate would get killed next by the warden. Selected, he was taken to the brink of death before his newfound healing abilities activated. Remaining scarred and mentally unstable, he managed to gain enough strength to escape. Unable to live a normal life, and because of his experience as a soldier, he became a mercenary for hire, calling himself Deadpool as he beat the odds and survived the experience. Falling into an identity disorder due to his neurological damage, the mercenary lost all memories of his origins, yet retained his deadly skill set. At the same time, he became an expert in multiple forms of martial arts, began donning a red full-body costume, and selected the sword as his preferred weapon.
You know, I love this weapon more than any other thing in the whole wide world. You want to know why?
No. It's memorable.
An extremely unpredictable opponent, Deadpool has since come to be known for his chaotic and improvised fighting style. However, out of all of his weapons, his most popular is his mouth, as he is famous for his wisecracking dialogue and ability to speak nothing but nonsense. Finally appearing on the silver screen in 2009, Deadpool was portrayed by Ryan Reynolds in X-Men Origins Wolverine.
We
Toliko torej o Deadpoolu, kratko in jedrnato, in morda ste ugotovili, da ste vendarli ta lik že videli, kaj šele spoznali. No, prišli pa smo tudi do nekega intervjuja, ki se je zgodil lani začetek poletja na ameriškem Comic Conu, ki so nam ga poslali naši ameriški prijatelji, in gre prav za intervju s kreatorjem Deadpoola in tudi prvim risarjem naslovnic in od leta 2010 tudi rednim risarjem stripa Robom Liefeldom. Kot rečeno, pogovor je nastal na torej Comic Conu leta 2015 in mu kar prisluhnil.
Deadpool is huge. We
yes.
know this.
Yes.
But a lot of people don't really know what the inspiration was for you
right.
when you created him back
right.
during New Mutants. Can you tell me like what
oh, sure.
what the inspiration was to create Deadpool?
Okay, so Deadpool appears in the first my first issue writing and drawing the New Mutants. And I tell people and in all these Marvel's got a bunch of great history books that they've licensed or put out, and the story's the same in all these. It's great because I own them all. I love comic book history books. But when I was given New Mutants to write and draw, in one of the Marvel books it says, and Liefeld won his showcase. And I always laughed at that. I won my showcase. It's so dramatic. But the year before, I had created a character called Cable. New Mutants was about to get canceled. They offered me the book. I said, I'd love to do it if we can change it up. And I proposed this character, Cable, this mysterious, futuristic warrior. And he had an agenda for the team and took them on a harder edge. Said, stop reacting to everything. We're being hunted. Let's be proactive. And let's take down the people who are hunting us before they can find us. And Cable blew up. The reason I'm telling you about Cable is there's no Deadpool without Cable. Cable's success opened the door for me to get the job writing and drawing New Mutants. Fabian Nicieza, I hired him to script over my plots. I tell people because people don't understand comic books, I was the showrunner at that point. And then, you know, you bring in other pieces to round out the product. The most time you're going to spend on a comic book, and writers will tell you this, is the artist has the biggest burden because he has to actually produce the art 22, 25 pages. So I had crafted a story. I knew this is it. They're giving me my chance to shine. So I'm going to introduce three new characters. Deadpool, Domino, and a new bad guy named Gideon that was going to manipulate everybody. But Deadpool was the showcase. That's why he's standing in front of the cover. And he came in. And again, people love Cable. People love the New Mutants. We had like quadrupled sales. And the book was now in the top three of Marvel. Here comes Deadpool, comes in, takes out the entire cast effortlessly, kicks everyone's ass, does it with his smart antics, and takes down Cable, who's everybody's hero, because I wanted to send a message like, this is a badass. He is formidable. And the inspiration when I created him was my buddy Todd McFarlane was doing Spider-Man at the time. And if people of that time remember that Spider-Man itself rocketed from the middle of the pack, because the Spider-Man books had kind of fallen in the wake of the X-Men books rising. And Todd would not let Spider-Man be denied, and Spider-Man became phenomenal. And Todd used to joke to me, and he said, you're doing a book with 7 to 8 characters. Goes, why'd you ever do a team book? I do Spider-Man. I draw big white, these big eyes. I do some webs. I do an oval. I'm on to the next page. And I was like, I need another character. I need a character like that. And Todd was like a great coach and kind of a taunter. And I asked my assistant who had worked with me the other day to remember, he was a teenager, and he was like, he would rule my lines on my borders and fill in the blacks. I said, hey, what do you remember about when I brought Deadpool in that day? And he's like, oh, Rob, I can tell you right now. You walked in, you pulled out of your portfolio, and you said, hey, what do you think of this guy? He's Spider-Man with katanas and machine guns. And that's how I pitched him to Marvel. And Marvel's like, yeah, we're good. And I asked Marvel, I said, because Wolverine has always been my favorite character. And with Cable and Deadpool, I was trying to stick the landing like Wolverine stuck the landing. And to this day, like I said, Wolverine is my favorite. So I was always trying to make the next Wolverine. And to me, Wolverine meant mystery, but a killer visceral, and again, layers that we could unpeel. And I asked them, Wolverine was from Weapon X. And I said, so that Weapon X means 10. And Marvel Editorial said, yes. I said, have we ever met Weapon 9, 8, 7, 6, 5? Have we gone back? No. Great. I said, Deadpool is Weapon 9. He is the one that they didn't get it right. They got it right with Wolverine. And then I remember going to see the movie Twins, and I tell this on the convention circuit. And when Arnold and Danny DeVito, because again, from that era, it's Schwarzenegger and DeVito, and you're like, twins, how are they twins? And I remember in the movie, they go, how are we twins? And the doctor said, well, you're all the good stuff, and you're all the crap. And DeVito goes, I'm all the crap. And Schwarzenegger goes, you're the crap. And so Deadpool was the crap. And so that was the basis when I pitched Marvel with Deadpool. They will tell you that New Mutants 98 got the most mail for a new character. They said they were overwhelmed to the point where they called me and said, can you put him in the next issue? The mail on Deadpool. The fans dig him. And I said, I just sent the issue off. I can't put him in. You're getting it tomorrow. Well, how about the next one? And I tell people there's a reason Deadpool started appearing in every other issue of X-Force. The fans demanded it. He has always been, his very existence, he was caught up. He caught the fans' attention. He caught their favor. And they've been running with him ever since. And I think now, if I can jump ahead, the licensors got a hold of him. They did a couple things, a statue, a pop figure, Funko stuff, and I think those sold out. And they go, wait, let's do more. You cannot discount the power of a great visual, and he's a great visual. Swords, machine guns, that costume, and he's a smartass. When I see the Entertainment Weekly cover and it says, the smartassiest katana wielding, I'm like, that's Deadpool. So I think it works.
So, and I mean, at this point, I mean, you mentioned how like Wolverine is your favorite character. Yeah. He's so iconic. I mean, it seems like, I mean, really, your goal came true because Deadpool, and in my opinion, and probably most others, is on equal footing with Wolverine at this point in terms of popularity.
He has definitely achieved that.
Right. I mean, he's a household name. I have a 6-year-old. He loves Deadpool.
Yeah.
I mean, he loves it. He's six.
My kids play soccer. They play basketball. And it was a couple of years ago that one of the moms came across the field, and she was coming across with a fury. And I'm like, what's going on? And she goes, hey, did you create this character called Deadpool? And I hadn't told my kids. We had Deadpool stuff around the house, but you're not like, you don't, hey, hello, children. Your father created this character. That's not how we roll. I'm like, not telling them anything. They're too young. But at this point, and my son goes, Dad, you created Deadpool? I'm like, yeah, thanks, lady. But that was like when I saw that their friends were digging it. And when he really blew up was in Marvel did a Capcom video game. And if you want to tell me when he went nuclear worldwide was when the Capcom versus Marvel video game, Deadpool was the most popular character to play. Everyone just skipped past the menu. You went to Deadpool, and in most cases, kids were Deadpool playing Deadpool on the Marvel Capcom. And he had the best moves, the best action, and he'd always have a smart crack when he wiped you out. And that was a huge – that game – because, again, my kids in the neighborhood, my two boys would bring their six buddies in the neighborhood, and they'd all pop down on the couch, and they'd put it on the big screen, and they would just sit there and play Marvel Capcom Deadpool versus everybody. And I'm Deadpool. And I was like, this is crazy. But, you know, stuff enters the zeitgeist, and it just takes off. And then you can't stop it.
It's very similar with the Marvel Lego game, too. I mean, Deadpool's like a through line. Yeah. And I played with my son everything to get every red brick. And all because my son's like, we need to get Deadpool.
Sure, sure.
So, I mean, we invested so many hours of our lives just to unlock this character.
My buddy was a VP. He's now at a different company, but he was a VP at Warner Brothers at the time. And he called me up and he goes, dude, you know how long we've been playing this game to unlock Deadpool? And I'm like, I'm sorry. But, yeah, no, they've used him as like a secret weapon, you know? And to spike him, I mean, they'll do Deadpool month covers. So, I mean, he has definitely achieved a great, you know, popularity in the business. And I think that the thing I'm most excited about, and it's cool because I was talking to Tim Miller the other day about the visuals in the movie. I'm like, Tim, people talk to me about the costume all the time. It's almost like they didn't believe that they were going to pull the costume off. And I've heard so many people go, oh, the costume's so faithful, it's so faithful. Again, the visual and the costume, the red, the black, it just has a strong connection. And because I asked Tim, I said, hey, we need to get the credits out on who did this and who was the guys who made these costumes, because I mean, it's that the people really react to seeing him, and I just think that they're in for it, man. This movie is going to kick some butt.
So the footage,
yes,
that was released served kind of as a catalyst to really get the excitement going.
Correct.
And I guess I'm curious how much, because I know that you had said you had seen something in some test footage at some point a long time, and you had been talking about it, and everybody's like, does it really exist? Is life making this stuff?
I know, that was hard. Yep.
But then everybody, you know, was able to see it,
sure.
And it was like, holy crap. So I'm curious, like, I mean, how much were you involved in that initial
Tim Miller called me when he got the job in 2010. I was a big fan of his work on the Star Wars video games, the trailers that he made for them, that he did a DC Cinematic Universe, or their video game universe trailer. So I was a big fan of Tim's. And suddenly I get this email, Rob, it's Tim. I got hired to do Deadpool. Let's get together. Let's talk. I'm so excited. I want to, you know, I wanted to contact you first and let you know what's up. And I want to, you know, make sure that you have access. I was totally floored. I mean, really, he extended me access when he didn't have to. And so I went to Blur and he showed me the animatics. He showed me what they were planning. And then I was there the day that they go, Rob, do you want to go with us? They were leaving Blur and going down the street to the green screen room to film Ryan doing the stuff. And I said, I'm too nervous. I said, I'm going to go home, and you're going to show me when it's done. And sure enough, you know, 3 months later, he said, Rob, come on up. And now here's what people don't understand. So it's 2015. This is October 2011. I go watch what the filmed footage that everyone's seen. And again, that film footage, Ryan, the entire team, I've seen him talk about it. He calls it, you know, the fans saw that film footage and powered this movie through. And I believe that. He is 100% on the mark. Fans, they were shown it, and that was always the feel amongst everybody who'd seen it, like if we could just get it seen. And that footage, I would go up every couple months. Hey, Tim, can I bring a friend? Hey, Tim, can I bring a friend? He has a great theater room in Plur, and he was very kind to me. Very always, Rob, bring him on up. Bring him on up. Bring him on up. I would bring Robert Kirkman from The Walking Dead. I would bring Gina Carano. I would bring, I'm like, come on, see this. And we would all go and hang out and watch. And, I mean, obviously, Tim was very proud of the work they did. But 2011, October 2011, that was finished. And so to finally, you know, have it seen, I started talking about it on the convention trail. And I did sense people were like, you making this up? And I'm like, I'm not this good, man. I'm not this good to break down scene by scene. So it's great that people really powered it based on the film footage. They powered it through, and we've got a movie coming out here in February. And I think people just are not ready for what they're going to experience. And of course, yes, I'm Rob Liefeld. I'm a homer, right? I mean, what am I going to do? I would not be this enthusiastic about Deadpool if I did not feel like it was a real game changer. We've had how many Marvel movies? And you got to understand, I love them all. I love the first Captain America. I love Civil War. I love Avengers. I love Iron Man. They're great movies. They have all subscribed, in my opinion, to a certain point of view. Deadpool is not that point of view. I think audiences are going to get their butts, like, they're going to be like, what is this? It's a different flavor. The R rating is setting it apart and making it something that none of these other movies can be. And I think when people, they're going to be like, what is this flavor? I want this. So I think they're going to go crazy.
So with Ryan Reynolds playing Deadpool, yeah. I mean, what is it about him that you think makes Deadpool? Because he feels like the perfect fit.
He is Deadpool. Anybody else. Oh, you know, Ryan's Deadpool. His entire persona, he just has that wit. You know, he's got that ridiculous humor and wit about him, but then he has the physicality. He's a big dude. I mean, when I met him, I was like, oh my gosh, you're such a big guy. And he's like, I am a big guy. And I'm like, you're Deadpool. I mean, he's got the physicality. He looks great as Deadpool, but he's got that great perspective, point of view. And I'm telling you, you can't fake those one-liners. You know, it's the delivery of the material. And these guys, Tim Miller, Ryan Reynolds, Rhett Reese, and Paul Wernick, they have been in the trenches battling for this for almost 6 years. And it's so awesome to see this come true for them. Like, I tell people, I've been the Deadpool guy for 24 years. Like, you know, I walk on the streets of the Comic-Con or wherever. Hey, Deadpool guy. Hey, Deadpool. I've been that guy for 24 years. I know what it's like. I gave birth to him. They're going to get to be the Deadpool guys now. And they're going to experience that. And I'm so excited for them because I think, like, it's going to be awesome. They're just going to... They don't know what's coming. They think they do, but they don't. I tell Paul, I go, get ready. I tell Rhett, get ready to get some medication for that hand from all the high fives you're going to get. You know, because there's going to be a lot of high fives coming your way.
So outside of Deadpool, you also have a whole stable of characters. You mentioned Cable before,
sure.
Like Shatterstar,
sure,
and a whole bunch of
all the X Force cast, yeah.
And then you also have, like, you know, like your Image creations, sure, and your other creations. And I know you're starting Bloodstrike again.
Relaunched that last week, yes.
Awesome. I mean, so I guess the question is, I mean, are you exploring or attempting, you know, to push those characters to get a big screen appearance? Or,
you know what? It's funny. I get that question, and I haven't. I just feel like I'm doing the comics to do the comics. I love comics. That's what I grew up wanting to do. When I came to San Diego in 1981, my dad... I had showed him an ad in the Comic Book Buyer's Guide, and I said, Dad, look at this convention. Look at all these names. George Perez, John Byrne, Chris Claremont. And my dad always said, I don't really get these comics, but I get that you love them and it's your passion. And he was a great guy. We took the train from Orange County down here, and we stayed two nights at, like, the Holiday Inn. And so 1981, I came to my first Comic-Con, and I was just blown away by all the comic book creators, because that's all there was. And Hollywood didn't really roll into this place until about 2002, and it's been great. Look, we didn't have comic book movies and comic book TV shows. You know, for us, it was, you know, something completely different. And I mean, I got excited when Steve Austin would activate his bionics twice an episode. You know, now the stuff you go, what did the Flash just do on TV? You know, so I mean, we're in a different world. So that's obviously co-opted the business quite a bit. But to this day, I just draw the comics. And like when I relaunch something like Bloodstrike, I'm not sure that's adaptable. It's too brutal. There are some stuff that you just go, I'm just going to have fun on the page and draw and express myself and see if that can excite the consumers of the comic book stores. Because all the other stuff you really don't control. I've had stuff come out. I've had studios come after me. They've optioned my stuff back in the 90s before people kind of knew what they could do. But the business had to learn. Had to learn what they could do with these characters. But I just kind of... Sometimes what I tell people, a comic is just a comic. You just do it for the comic book. Am I excited about the possibility of these the stuff I created for Marvel? Because that seems inevitable. The this era, you know, they've gotten to it. They're right up against the 80s and 90s now, and that's my era. So obviously, you're going to see all those characters over time. I'm fairly confident as long as they keep making X-Men movies, they're going to keep sharing those characters, and that's going to be a thrill. And I'm so excited because, again, I love all parts of it. I love the toys, the statues, the movies. But when it comes to my stuff, I can just control the comic books, and so that's what I do. And it feels like Marvel and DC are trying to stake out so much of the real estate. Like, how exhausting would that be to try and compete? You know. So right now, I just do the comics. I focus on the comics, and I'm having a blast. And something like Bloodstrike, which relaunched last week, has already blown up, sold out. I mean, stores, Image says, stores are selling out all over the place. And you go, that feels great. Because, again, that's my passion, is the paper stuff. And so that's what that's about.
Shamaka machiro, pide minim semino ye de pa crop, pa con, pa con.
Pozdravljeni nazaj, poslušate Stripofilijo na radiju Študent in vsaka tretja sobota v mesecu je, kot rečeno, ob 6. popoldan rezervirana za stripe. In zdaj bi kle mogo biti en tak slavnostni drum roll, ki pa ga nismo naštimali, vseeno pa bomo razglasili zmagovalce najstripa po izboru poslušalcev Stripofilije radija Študent 2015. Na domači strani je torej, dragi moji, slavnostna tišina. Zmagal Krančan, David Krančan s Pijanim zajcem, zelo, zelo prepričljivo. Za 6 glasov je namreč premagal drugo uvrščeni strip Alma M. Karlin, svetovljanka iz province Jakoba Klemenčiča in Marjana Pošavca, ki smo jo nedolgo tega recenzirali tudi na Radio Študent. Čestitke, David. Omenimo pa še, da si je Alma M. Karlin mesto delila z Lomom Tomaža Lavriča, ki smo ga, kot rečeno, konec lanskega leta končno dobili tudi v prevodu, čeprav gre za malce starejši strip. Na strani tujih stripov pa je prepričljivo zmagala Nina Bunjevac z Očetnjavo. Čestitke, Nina. Nino smo imeli sicer lani priložnost videti in slišati tudi uživo v Ljubljani na lanskem Stripolis Festu oktobra. Mimo grede posnetek z Nino, torej intervju posnetka z Nino, imate pripopan oziroma link do tega posnetka, se pravi pod do tega posnetka je pod, v oktobrski Stripofiliji, če hočete celotnemu intervju iz Stripolis Festa tudi prisluhniti. No, za 5 glasov je torej Nina Bunjevac premagala drugo vrščeno Jungovo medeno kožo, ki bo menda imela še možnost zmage v katerem od naslednjih let, glede na to, da se menda še kar ustvarja. Sledila pa sta že skoraj pozabljeni bulvar razbitih sanj Kima Dajča in pa Ariol, nova uspešnica založbe Vige Vage knjige, ki pa je tudi že dočekala svoj drugi del. Spomnimo se torej Nine Bunjevac in pa prisluhnimo pogovoru, ki je bil ob izidu stripa v Srbiji, torej gre za prvi pogovor, ki je potekal v Srbiji, sicer v Beogradu 22. maja v Centru za kulturno dekontaminacijo.
Dobrodošla u Beograd.
Snašla.
Našla nas je, to je u redu. Prije svega da počnemo malo sa samim početkom i genezom cijele priče. Kad se rodila ideja za roman Fatherland u originalu, otadžbina na našem?
Pa ovako, moja prva zbirka stripa izašla je 2011. godine u Srbiji sa omnibusom, to pod nazivom Hladna kao led, i u toj zbirci je bio jedan strip od jedno 11 tabli, avgust 1977. koje je slične tematike, znači posmatra ona posljednja 3 sata mog očeva, života mog oca, i onda paralele između njegove ideologije i ono porasta nacionalizma u Srbiji, šta se dešava sa ovim grupama kao Dveri, Obraz, tako to. I kad je ta knjiga izašla, onda su ljudi pisali toliko puno o tome da sam ja rekla, ej, ako pišu toliko toga od 11 tabli, da ja napišem knjigu da iskoristim to. I eto.
Dobro. Znači, oportuno si krenula u to.
Potpuno. I srcem da. I oportuno.
Laži. Ali sad ćemo to demontirati, ove izjave. Ovako, koliko je trajala izrada same knjige, koliko tebi treba za tablu?
1 do 3 dana. Samo tuširanje. Pa bi onda rekla 3 table, sve.
I koliko bi to, koliko je to znači trajalo 150 i nešto stranica?
To je trajalo 1,5 godinu, po 16 sati na dan.
I kako ti fizički podnosiš takav rad?
Pa gledaj kako su mi leđa, gledaj koliko sam savijena, preko sajla.
Pričala si mi da ti je dioptrija bila...
Pa i dioptrija ne mogu, bre, ono, izađem da ne vidim ništa, ono, ne mogu da čitam, ne mogu da crtam sada. Ja sam počela rad na knjizi, ja sam već, ono, crtala bez naočara, ono, idem ladno. Ono, kad na kraju sad, ono, izađem na večeru, ne znam šta da naručim, ono, prstom nešto. To, ono, potpuno se pogrešala dioptrija.
Znači, fizički je to bilo dosta naporno.
I, da, i fizički, a i emotivno.
A emotivno?
Pa da, pa naravno.
Da te pitam, naime, ovo je poprilično jedna teška porodična priča, čiji akteri su, neki akteri su mrtvi, ali neki su i itekako živi, pritom mislim na majku i na sestru.
Da.
Kako ti je bilo raditi knjigu, a ono, likovi iz, i to ljudi koji ćeš nacrtati ono 1/1 onako za ličnu kartu i mogu iskoristiti te njene ilustracije, kako, šta si očekivala, njihova reakcija kakva je bila, šta si očekivala?
Od koga?
Mame.
Pa ja sam polako ono, prvo sam počela onako na kvarno, zovnem mamu, mama, seća se 1975. Ti si mi pričao šta se to desilo. I ona je počela 2-3 puta da je zove dnevno, ona primetila nešto, a ja skupljam podatke za knjigu. I onda sam je polako objasnila kako će to biti sve to i ona je bila u redu, svi su, mislim, to je onako, nekako onako neutralno sam pisala, taj narativ je neutralan, potpuno i emotivno i politički, nisam gledala nikog da uvredim jednostavno, tako da znala sam da se neće ono ljudi uvrediti, ako se uvrede onda nisu pročitali knjigu, razumeš, kao ona, kao ovi iz Ravne Gore.
Šta iz Ravne Gore?
Pa ono, poslali su mi pismo.
Čekaj, ko ti poslao pismo?
Pa četnici iz Ravne Gore, organizacije iz Hamiltona u Kanadi. Poslali su mi pismo preko izdavača da ne ljutili se što sam napisala u knjizi kao da je Draža Mihajlović bio, da je sarađivao sa okupatorima. To. Pa da. I onda ono kao, pa ti, kao, zašto pljuješ srpski narod?
Pa zašto pljuješ srpski narod?
Pa ja mu kažem, mislim, ono, izvini, molim to, od svih Srba koje znam, nijedan ne bi ono poistovetio srpstvo sa Dražom Mihajlovićem, možda 1 u 10, ali svi bi, na primjer, sa Vukom Karadžićem, pa ajde da pričamo o njemu malo.
Ma, dok oni šalju pisma, to je okej, pa nek šalju pisma, nek se bune, šta?
Pa,
je li tako?
Pa, meni ne smeta, znači, pročitali su knjigu. I bliži su meni.
Polako, doći i do nas.
45 minuta vožnje od mene su.
Kako su strani izdavači reagirali na tvoju knjigu? Jesi ti to odmah prodala, jel bila u procesu rada si već znala da će knjiga izaći za...
Pa ovako, ja sam imala 20 tabli kad sam ja dobila ponudu od Random House-a da oni to objave. I onda su mi dali taj rok i zato sam ono 1,5 dana šljakala kao luda. I da.
Šta? Znao
si. Pa to je bilo ono, nakon toga oni su ono, ajde da uzmemo svetska prava, kao više para i to. I onda su oni time raspoređivali, pravali ono prava Francuzima, Nemcima i to, ali je bilo, ali dobro krenulo. To je onda pre nego što je knjiga izašla, već je ono Francuska kupila prava, Nemačka, Španska, Amerika. Knjiga još nije bila izašla. Iznenadio me kako to lako išlo. Potpuno.
Da li imalo, da li imalo veze sa temom ili imalo veze sa izdavačem? To što
ma tema, pa naravno. Pa tema. Terorizam je sad ona najveća tema. Globalno, gdje god otišao. Ono sve, ono terorizam, ovo, ono, ono. Pitaju me pitanje kao da ste neki ekspert u terorizmu. Pa da. I onda šta ću ti kažem, mislim, pročitaj knjigu, to je moj otac, što je njega natjeralo i to. Ali onda mnogi mi ono zahvaljuju kao, jao, kao, jao, hvala ti, kao naročito Francuzi, sada malo više razumemo, kao, šta to vodi čovjeka do toga da on postane naš nacionalista, radikalista, terorista, ovo, ono. Ali to su Francuzi, naš. I tako.
Dobro. Malo mi se sad odmori. Ovo je inače, otadžbina je ono što Englezi nazivaju graphic novel. To se kod nas često krivo prevodi kao grafička novela. A novel na engleskom znači roman. A roman i novela nisu isto definitivno. I to vam je znači, roman u stripu bi bio najbliži prevod, s tim da, naravno, ovakva knjiga mora zadovoljavati one književne okvire u kojima je nešto novela, odnosno roman i tako dalje.
Pozdravljeni nazaj v Stripofiliji na Radiu Študent, tretja sobota v mesecu, kot rečeno, rezervirana za stripe. Sicer letos mimo grede okroglih 70, kot smo dejali v začetku, praznuje Srečni Luka, oziroma nam bolje poznan kot Talični Tom oziroma Lucky Luke, ki ga je na svet spravil Maurice de Bever, bolje ga poznate verjetno kot Morisa. Neko obdobje pa je Taličnega Toma oziroma Srečnega Luko pisal tudi René Goscinny. Poznate ga verjetno kot enega od najmanj zdravih likov, kar jih poznamo tukaj na evropskem kontinentu, vedno ima v gobcu en tak zvit tobačni čik. Sicer pa imamo že v Sloveniji enega superheroja, ki je precej bolj nezdrav, če se spomnimo Redmana. Lucky Luke namreč ko v mejah normale kadi in pije, čeprav v bistvu dost skos. No, hitrejši od sence, česar se verjetno spomnite, in ima, tako kot Pika Nogavička, pa Napoleon, pa Aleksandar Veliki, pa še koga bi se našlo, seboj vedno belega konja, ki smo ga imenovali Jolly Jumper, za katerega nismo nikoli zares vedeli, ali res govori, ali pa gre za to neko bolj šizofreno varianto, da je pač temu osamljenemu kavboju tako dolg čas, da se je začel v resnici pogovarjati s svojim belim konjem. No, vsake tok se pa zraven pricaplja še velikonosi pes Rantan Plan. Gre sicer za enega najbolj prodajanih stripov v Evropi, kosa se tudi z nam sicer bolj poznanim Asterixom. Sicer jih je bila v slovangleščino prevedena že polovica, v 23 jezikov pa je bil nasplošno preveden. Ob voščilu, ob okrogli 70. obletnici, pa bomo tukaj v oddaji Stripofilija zavrteli tudi avizo animacije, ki se je morda spomnite tudi z naših televizij.
Stigne u grad. Ej vi lopovi, salut vam je bijeg. Bang, bang, lucky look. Bang, bang, lucky look. Kad najmanje se nada, razbojnička banda, eto ga lucky look. Bang, bang, lucky look. Bang, bang, puca on. Svuda ga sreća prati na putu. Cowboy Lucky Luke, vještom rukom od bande brani, goloruki puk. Bang, 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 bang,
bang. Srečno, srečni Luka, sicer pa dajmo na hitro pogledat, če napovedi od 11. januarja do 14. marca v spodnji etaži Cankarjevega doma na ogled razstava Hamlet na Slovenskem, v sklopu katere je Ciril Horjak narisal tudi strip, ki je na razstavi na ogled. V torek 19. januarja ob 11. uri v prostorih Lud literature predstavitev že drugega projekta Ljubljana v oblačkih, stripa izdanega sicer kot produkta delavnic za mladostnike in govori o mestu Ljubljana na malce drugačen način. V torek 19.1., se pravi, to je ta torek, pa zvečer potem ob 8. v komuniki na Šiška Izar Lunaček predava na Stripolisu o kratki zgodovini detektivskega stripa, se pravi od Dick Tracyja in Rip Kirbyja, pa tudi Batmana, Alexinarja, Sin Cityja, Eda Brubeckerja, glavnom ni da ni. Pritličje oziroma striparna Pritličje, striparna zavoda Stripolis bo imela tam tudi svojo stojnico. 20. januarja, se pravi v sredo, ob 7. v mestni knjižnici Kran, dva velika moška, ena drobna ženska in en debel strip. Gre za striparski večer z Zoranom Smiljaničem, kjer bo tokrat gostil Marjana Pošavca in Jakoba Klemenčiča, ki bosta govorila o torej drugovrščenem domačem stripu Alma M. Karlin. 28. do 31. januarja se bo zgodil že 43. festival Angolem, največji evropski stripovski festival, kjer bomo verjetno dobili tudi kar nekaj novih hitov, o katerih kaj več v prihodnjem, torej v stripofiliji v tretjem tednu, v tretji soboti ob 6. zvečer februarja. Sicer pa 6. februarja 2016 se še v sklopu festivala mladinske književnosti Bralnice pod Slamnikom v knjižnici Domžale poteka strokovno srečanje pod naslovom Kje pa vas strip žuli? Spraševali se bodo, kaj je strip, kaj so njegovi elementi, v glavnem tam bojo z vami govorili Damjan Stepančič, Jure Engelsberger, Ivan Mitrevski, Suzi Bricel in še kdo. Toliko strani januarske stripofilije, vsekakor upamo, da boste v roke prijeli še kak res dober strip. Še enkrat čestitke Nini Bunjevac in Davidu Krančanu kot zmagovalcema natečaja naj stripa po okusu poslušalcev Radija Študent. Vsekakor, če ste kaj zamudili, bomo oddajo prav kmalu spravili tudi na internet. Če ne, pa se slišimo tretjo soboto v mesecu ob 6. popoldanski uri na Radiju Študent. Zdaj mislim, da imamo glih še cajt za ta zadnj komad in potem bomo se lepo poslovili. Tako da lepo se imajte. Čau.
Elete si žalije, je repense toujours elle. Bila je tako lijepa kao tog jutra da.
Gadna i bubuljičava, a ja sam bio mrtav pijan.
Uno, dos, tres, dos!
Kako je to v tej izložbi? To moram preveriti.
Dobar dan.
Dan, obzir, sem prav videl, da imate novo številko?
Ja, ja, tamle, takoj levo.
Oh, kak lepa izdaja. Barvna naslovka, trda veza. A lahko prelistam?
Ja, seveda.
Oh, dišita, von tiskarnem je genialen. Pa kakšna dobra risba.
To je en čist mlad model, ampak veliko beta. Letos je nominiran za Eisnerja, pa scenarij tudi ni slab, veste.
Znaj, čakaj, a je to res pisal?
Ja, ja, Alan Moore.
Oh, koliko modelov vlada, kako gradi zgodbo, kako nastal polnota leitmotiv, ko se polovina konc, kako gradi napetost, kako nas pripelja do zapleta, do podzapleta, peripetije, odloga vrhunca, vrhunca, oh, strip, strip, strip.
Gospod, gospod, tole boste mogli pa kar kupiti.
Stripofilija.
Oddaja za stripovske sladokusce.
Novosti.
Legende.
Napovedi.
Vsak mesec na Radio Študent.